He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for in him were all things created in heaven and on earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At the Last Supper, our Blessed Savior spoke words to his apostles that would only become truly clear in the light of his resurrection. "Do not let your hearts be troubled," he said. "I go to prepare a place for you." As our Blessed Savior revealed the innermost thoughts of his Sacred Heart to those dearest to him, of his great love for them, one of his apostles, Philip, plaintively asked Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Our Savior, saddened, replied, "Have I been so long a time with you, and have you not known me? Philip, he that seeth me, seeth the Father also. How sayest thou, show us the Father?" Indeed, as the Apostle St. Paul says in his letter to the Colossians, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for in him were all things created, in heaven and on earth. Therefore, both in time and in eternity, our Lord Jesus Christ is an image. He is the eternal image of God the Father, perfectly faithful to him in every way. In seeing his holy face, we see the true nature of our God, God our Creator, God our Redeemer, generous in love, abounding in mercy. The face of our God who has come not to condemn the world, but to redeem it in his precious blood. Now, as he prepares to take leave of his apostles and of us, as we approach the great feast of the Ascension, our Blessed Savior addresses his apostles in this same discourse at the Last Supper. "I came forth from the Father," Jesus says, "and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and I go to the Father." God the Son is the same eternal Word whom we contemplate during the last Gospel of nearly every Holy Mass. In those privileged moments at the end of Mass, as we give thanks for the gift of Holy Communion, we contemplate God the Son, the eternal Word, through whom all things were made. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was made that was not made through him, God the Son, the eternal Word, the image of the Father, in whose image we ourselves are made. In God the Son's image we are not only made but redeemed. In today's Holy Gospel, as Jesus reaches the supreme moment of his life and ministry, his passion, death, and resurrection, he turns and says to his apostles, "The hour cometh when I will no more speak to you in parables, but will show you plainly of the Father. On that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not to you that I will ask the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, have believed that I came out from God." We might respond to our Blessed Savior, "How can the Father already love us, O Lord?" In our baptism, we find the answer. It is the image of the Son, himself the image of the Father, the eternal Word, that has been imprinted on our souls by the grace of our baptism. When we live to him by the state of grace, when we live in his friendship and divine charity, God the Father then looks upon our souls. He sees the image of his Son. The Father sees the mark of his passion, of his death, of his resurrection. The Father, who was so well pleased to look upon his Son, as he said in the Holy Gospels at the baptism in the River Jordan, now can repeat those sacred words as he gazes on each of us this morning. "This is my Son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." Our holiness consists in nothing else but to represent that image more faithfully, more clearly every day. To come, as St. Paul says, to the fullness of Christ, to come to a perfect resemblance of him. Indeed, as Jesus says, The hour cometh when I will no more speak to you in parables, but will show you plainly of the Father. We, dear Catholics, we have that privilege to live in an age where Jesus has shown us plainly of the Father. By the ministry of the Church, by the preaching of the apostles, their successors, the bishops, by the ministry of communion that is the see of the Apostle St. Peter. We have been shown plainly of the Father, of the mystery of the Holy Trinity, of the life-giving nature of the seven sacraments, of the role of our Blessed Mother in our salvation. To us has been given to know the mysteries of our eternal redemption. Jesus speaks to us no longer in parables, but speaks to us plainly. One of the great commentators on the sacred liturgy, Father Pius Parsh, says that the age of which Jesus speaks, our age, is an age that relies on the graces of the liturgical year. Blessed Kalama Marmion, another holy monastic writer, teaches to us that the mysteries of Jesus Christ, his nativity, his epiphany, his passion, death, resurrection, and now for us his approaching ascension, his sending forth of the Holy Ghost, these mysteries, we do not merely commemorate them like we would commemorate any historical event. These mysteries, they continue to live in the most sacred heart of Jesus. Each time that we relive these mysteries in our liturgical year, the very graces of the mysteries themselves are offered to us, are ours for the taking. Jesus indeed no longer speaks in parables to us. He unveils the very graces, the graces of his own virtues for our benefit. Do you seek to grow in humility? Contemplate Jesus in his nativity. Better prepare your Advent and the feast of Christmas. Do you seek to penetrate more greatly into the mysteries of his divinity? Adore him with the Magi. With greater love and care, prepare the feast of the Epiphany. Do you search for meaning in your suffering, for strength amidst your trials? Contemplate our Lord on that sorrowful way as he meets his grieving and most blessed mother. Do you wish to die to the vice that has you so firmly in its grasp? Nail the old man to the cross. Bury him with Jesus Christ in the tomb, that you might rise again with our Lord to new life. These mysteries are not dead, but alive, even as God, our Savior, lives and breathes. In him we live and move and have our being. He through whom we were made, by whom every day at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, we are remade ever more faithfully in his image. There is no other source for our virtues, no other source for our spiritual growth than in him. It is why he instructs us in today's Holy Gospel to ask all things in his name. He could have been merely a model for us, merely an example to follow by which we might grow in virtue, by which we might in our own feeble way with a certain distant help imitate him. No, the Sacred Heart of our God wished to be more present to us than we are to ourselves. If we are to grow in virtue, it is not our virtues, but his virtues that must dwell in us. It is not our humility, but his. Not merely any death, but his death that will bring us to life. Our sufferings are no longer merely our sufferings. They are the sufferings of the God-man, Jesus Christ himself. For as St. Paul says mysteriously, we too supply for what is wanting in the sufferings of Jesus. That does not mean that the cross is in any way deficient, but precisely that each of us from all eternity has been destined to offer with Jesus a sacrifice together in his name by which he will save the world. That we participate in growing into his image and likeness in the very salvation of the world. All our suffering is meaningful, holy, and good if we would but offer it in his name. Our Blessed Savior continues in that same beautiful, mysterious discourse of the Last Supper. Amen, amen, I say to you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, he also shall do, and greater than these shall he do. Pius Parsh comments that the earthly miracles of our blessed Savior, he himself in this passage considers them inferior to the very works that he will bring about in us and through us. Jesus was pleased not only to present himself as the image of the Father, but also as the image of what we ourselves would become. Then our Savior healed the wounds of the body, but now, through the ministry of his priests, by our fraternal charity with our neighbor, he heals the greater wounds of our soul. When he healed a blind man, it was the living image of the gift of faith, that holy light that he would shine in our very souls. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, it was infinitely inferior to the raising of the spiritually dead, which he accomplishes before our eyes with every baptism, with every confession. Let us pray, dear friends, for the gift of faith, to see the world not as it appears, but as it truly is. Jesus speaks openly, plainly to us, through his church, through the sacred liturgy, by his loving providence in every moment of our lives. The Father waits with loving impatience for the cry of our hearts and the blessed conclusion of every prayer, that we might ask for all and receive all through our Lord Jesus Christ, the image of the invisible God, who lives and reigns with God the Father in the unity of the Holy Ghost, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.